We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Trust the Tape. It is myself, Zach Wolchuk of the Nosebleed Seats on 105.3 The Fan, alongside the man, the myth, the legend, the Super Bowl winning NFL draft scout, and of the G-Bag Nation also on 105.3 The Fan, Brian Broaddus. And of course, we are brought to you by the deliciousness that is Boomer Jackson. We've got the NBA playoffs going on. We've also got the quest for the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NFL draft.
How about that, man? Kind of a sportsman's or sportsperson's paradise,
it is,
if you want to say that. But, you know, the thing that we really, really focus on, and we focused on since, I know myself, since December, has been this NFL draft. And to be honest with you there, Wooly Bully, it's kind of been one of those things. I thought this day would get here, but man, it got here a lot faster than I thought. I mean, I literally started in December looking at these players, kind of getting an idea. We started putting together some draft shows, you know, when with DallasCowboys.com, you know, the station. We have a great partnership with that. So, yeah, it is. It's actually finally, and I shouldn't say finally, but it's here. You know, it is literally putting together the information now and kind of putting your final touches on your stacks and your boards.
It is bizarre. I mean, it's one of those things where we started having some draft prospects on our show.
Yep.
And we started, you know, looking at some tape, and I'm thinking, man, it's a little too early to even start doing this. The next thing you know, holy moly, the week of the draft is here. And we encourage you, of course, to go seek out your local Boomer Jacks. They've got delicious food, a menu that is huge. They've got a great variety for everybody. You can find something for the entire family there, whether it is burgers, sandwiches, salads, delicious drink specials. Boomer Jacks is definitely your one-stop shop for all of your dining needs. And, of course, to watch all of the sports. We've got baseball season in full swing as well. So go out to Boomer Jacks. We really, really appreciate their love and support of draft season and Trust the Tape and being a great, tremendous sponsor of us here. But, man, there's so much to talk about as we're now just days away from the NFL draft. And I know you have you've been scrounging. You've been in the dark here.
Yes.
Finalizing your big board.
Right.
And you've been getting the tags together, as one would say. And I now I know you're probably putting it together for 105.3thefan.com.
I am.
And how's that process been for you?
It's been actually really, really good. And you know, with 105.3 The Fan, I've done it with I did my top 56, and being kind of cowboy funny in that direction, if you want to say, you know, because the Cowboys have a second round pick at 56. So I thought, well,
I love that.
Let's see if we can hit two of these guys that the Cowboys might draft. So that's kind of the weirdness of the number. I was able to evaluate 190 players, you know, and it's so funny when you go through the draft and you honestly know, well, you might do 190 players, but there's probably two full rounds of guys that, you know, but for what we get to do around here, for having to do radio shows and work and all that, you know, I'm pretty proud of the fact that we're able to bring you 190 players. And, you know, and I've got them all lined up, and, you know, and it's, you know, it's one of those processes, to be honest with you, Zach. It took me three solid nights of work until like 1:45 in the morning, it seemed like, every night, just making sure that I had the right information, the right order, and that I really went back and reading my notes on some of these guys. Do I have this position? You know, I'm not trying to window dress my stack.
Sure.
Because we've learned, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan or if you're a fan of any other team, the one thing the stack has been able to do, especially with the Cowboys, is that is when those tags start coming off the board, that's where they generally go to look. And we've seen it the last two drafts that it might not necessarily be the most glaring need. It was the best player on their board. So that's why your stack is very, very important. And a lot of teams will have you know, 150 players on their board, and they'll rank them all in that order. And, you know, it's a great example of this was the Zach Martin draft, where the Cowboys, you know, were looking at Ryan Shazier, Robert Blackwell, the video director in for the Cowboys. It was in New York. He had the name on the card, Ryan Shazier, and the Steelers took him right ahead. And then the Cowboys had a brief conversation when he went on the clock. Stephen Jones reminded everybody that we have Zach Martin up there. Jerry reminded everybody we still have Johnny Manziel up there. But the stack told him to take Zach Martin. And so, and they've done it too with, you know, the CeeDee Lamb stuff. And there was talk even about with Diggs, you know, that maybe if you got wiped out, that Diggs would be an option for the Cowboys at 17. And that circled back around to, what, 51, I believe. And that's kind of where, you know, he was taken. So you were able to grab a player in the second round that you thought about potentially in the first.
So as you're putting that together, is there a player that you're looking at that you think that, you know, because groupthink, something we've talked about quite a bit on Trust the Tape.
Right.
That maybe you're looking at and you're thinking, man, as I've kind of talked to some other scout buddies out there, I've got this guy ranked way higher on my board than maybe some other people do, or maybe I've got this guy ranked way lower on my board as opposed to some other people.
I think a guy for me like that is, you know, there's people that have their thoughts about Charles Cross, the tackle from Mississippi State. You know, when I was doing my stack, I have him as the third best player in this draft. And with the, you know, he's so young. I mean, this guy's a redshirt sophomore. You know, he's 6'5", he's 307 pounds. He's got these Tyron Smith-like traits. Mm-hmm. When you start to talk about a young guy, athletic ability, the movement, all those things. You know, another guy, too, that I'm really, really high on is Sauce Gardner. He's my second best player on my board.
Love it.
You know, and there's people that say, well, he might be a top five guy. And that's, I mean, maybe there's not a lot of, but when you start to talk about him with Thibodeau and Cross and Hutchinson and stuff like that, what's funny is I'm starting to learn that people think that Hutchinson from Michigan, the defensive end, might be the best he is right now. That maybe that the, what would we say, the ceiling on that would be not as high as some of the people.
He's a safe pick.
Yeah, he's
very. But does he have as much upside?
Yeah, I think that's why we're seeing so much love for Travion Walker from Georgia. And, you know, scouts, we were talking, like you mentioned, to Jim Nagy, who's the director of the Senior Bowl, a longtime NFL scout, 18-plus years, Super Bowl-winning scout in a couple of locations. Jim was talking about with the whole thing, and I asked him the question about Walker, and he was very much of the thought that media scouts are late to the game on him, that scouts that work for the team were on him from the word go. Dane Brugler, who we've done work with over the years, was on him very quick. And so that must have been, you know, Dane probably got a little bit of a tip. Dane does a lot of great work. But we all kind of like, when we start to hear names of players and stuff like that, like, hey, you need to go watch this guy. You need to go watch this guy. And I kind of feel like that's kind of where we're at right now. I'll tell you a player that I absolutely love, you know, and you look at my stack as a first-round guy at 18 would be N'Kobe Dean.
Oh,
and I don't know necessarily.
Gosh, I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily every NFL team would love N'Kobe Dean because he's 5'11". That's the problem right there.
Broadus, are you coming around to the small guy?
No, I absolutely am, because when going back when I first started in 1992, there is no way in hell if you brought up Kyler Murray's name as a possible first overall pick. Baker Mayfield, same way, smaller, you know, and that's how much really scouting has evolved over the years. We've seen people, organizations, coaches take smaller players, and there's a lot of short players in this draft. You know, we talk about Marcus Jones from the kid from Houston.
Sure.
You know, N'Kobe Dean, shorter player. You know, those are guys that you look at. Parham from
Trent McDuffie.
McDuffie, a shorter arm. Yeah, you look at shorter guys, and, you know, well, look at the wide receivers too. I mean, there's several of these wide receivers that are at that 5'8", 5'9" range.
Sky Moore, small guy, Sky could Moore, sneak into the first round.
Exactly. So I think people are a little bit more willing and understanding from my era of scouting, where it's really was, there's no way in hell that Kyler Murray would have gone pick one, you know, overall to anybody as a quarterback.
You watch N'Kobe Dean play, and I think you can really move this guy all around. You know, and we've talked about Lloyd, the linebacker from Utah,
yes,
a lot, and he might be the closest thing to a Micah Parsons-like
That's
player.
True, yeah, yeah.
But N'Kobe Dean, for me, also has similar traits to where I think you can move him around, and he can be a Swiss Army knife type of player, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
To where I think he can give you a lot of flexibility as a defensive coordinator.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's, I think that you hit the nail on the head. We've talked about Dean some in previous shows where, you know, 6'3 is a little bit different than 5'11. And, you know, the thing about Dean, I mean, you watch the Georgia players, and it's, all those defenders are all first-round type players, with the exception of, you know, I mean, I think there's a, you know, a corner that is probably not, but overall, though, they've really, really done a great job defensively of getting guys that run, hit, and finish on their defense, and that's why they're the national champ.
Okay. Boomer bust. I'm going to give you one guy that I think in the first round that I am scared of right now. It's a name that I think a lot of people are in love with, and I'm starting to fall, I don't want to say out of love with.
Burks.
It's not Burks. It's Jordan Davis.
Okay.
And I'm starting to just, you know, people are and there's a lot of chatter, especially from a Cowboy standpoint.
Yeah.
If Jordan Davis were to fall to 24,
sure,
I'm interested. I would absolutely, in no way, shape, or form, move up to go and take Jordan Davis. And I'll give you the one game specifically. You watch him play Tennessee, and this is what scares me. Tennessee, watch the
plays
first drive,
pace.
Right?
They play with a lot
of
pace.
You go up-tempo,
yeah.
You remove him from the game.
Sure.
He's huffing and puffing, and he's a two-down player.
Yeah.
And he's guys, I got to get off. Hands up. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I got to get off the field.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous. If he goes into the NFL, and we're seeing this more and more, where it's a spread up-tempo offense, and next thing you know, a player like Jordan Davis, who, don't get me wrong, you get a big-body player like that, he's freeing up space for your linebackers to roam, he's helping every level of your defense, and there's tons of potential and upside, and the what he did at the Combine was crazy. I like Devontae White, his teammate, more.
Yeah, and the questions, though, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we'll see teams, you're right about going up-tempo. I think I would worry about if you drafted Jordan Davis a little bit would be the fact that you get teams that, well, you get teams to play so much nickel now. You know, how many snaps are you really – and again, guys like John Owning and people like that, and I've had discussions about – like he's like, well, man, this player's this, that, and the other. And I agree. I have no problem with what John's saying.
No doubt.
But I do wonder, though, when you draft a player like this, is he just really a two-down player you're talking about? Is he first, second-down player? You know, how does that work out for you? If it doesn't work out, you know, then you're in a situation where, you know, okay, you took a guy. And people think that this guy might be similar to what Vita Vea was. I think Vita Vea is a much better pass rusher than this guy. Now, both guys play on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Both guys get penetration. Both guys are physical players, hard to handle at the point of attack. You know, I'll say, you know, you talk about watching other games. When I was watching Kentucky, the center Fortner, you know, I was watching him block these inside players. And you mentioned Wyatt and you know, Jordan Davis and guys like that. And I was like super impressed by how he was able to hold up inside. And so, yeah, I mean, if, you know, going up for him, probably not. If he's there at 24, yeah, I'd like to see who else is in the mix.
Sure.
I'd like to see if it's one of the wide receivers still in the mix, is one of the, now he was a 30 visit guy here for the Cowboys, and that would kind of go against what they believe as far as the one technique guys. But this is, you mentioned a freakish athlete that we've never seen before. But if you think this guy is Vita Vea, I think you're a little bit off there. I really do.
I agree. I personally had Vita Vea as a much better player. And if it's between, let's say, And Devin Lloyd is another name that it seems like as we've gotten closer, he's cooled off. Him and George Karloftis are two guys that I like quite a bit. It seems like the buzz has cooled off a little bit on both of those guys as we've gotten closer to the first round. I think whoever gets them has the potential to get a steal, especially if they slide in the first round. Mm-hmm. But if the Cowboys ended up going defense for whatever reason in the first round, or if they drop into the 20s, if there's any team that's taken late in the first round, I'd take Lloyd before I took Davis in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think to me that I would take Lloyd. I might even look at a corner, too.
Okay.
And again, the Cowboys were in a mode last year where they were willing to take a corner, even with Diggs and Lewis and Brown still on the roster. So maybe not. Don't put that even though those guys played better, and that's the Dan Quinn factor right there for you.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You think they'd consider McDuffie, even though he doesn't really... You know that what, Dan Quinn mold.
I don't know if he'd be there. I don't know if that would be the one that they would look at. I think that if
like a Booth out of Clemson, maybe.
Yeah, I think a little bit of a longer guy, I think, is where you would be with that
okay.
mode.
Now, I do want to throw out a mid round player, a boom, if you will, here. A guy that I think has the potential to be a steal. Now, this is a little bit of a pet cat for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kyren Johnson out of Kansas.
Okay, now you're kind of talking my language
here. I love this dude.
Uh-huh.
Okay, explosive.
Yeah,
that's the first word.
Yeah.
To me, Kyren Johnson, and we had the opportunity to sit and visit with him a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to just
you fell in love with the person, huh?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right, but. You want to try and check off all the boxes, right? Okay, so he is an engaging individual and all that. He seems like he loves the game of football. That's important. He's a willing special teams guy. But does the tape match all of this?
Yeah.
Explosive.
Yeah.
Natural athlete. And to me, he's just got rare pass rushing skills. He's a hitter, man.
Yeah.
I love Kyren Johnson.
Yeah, I think you got the player right. I studied a couple of games, the West Virginia game, and then I also studied the Texas game. And it's like these teams didn't even realize this guy could rush the passer. You know, it's like they're like acting like, well, this we could just leave this guy unblocked.
It's because he's undersized. I don't think people respect him.
6 foot, 231 pounds. And I think to me that, this guy can really cover some ground. You talked about it being explosive. I thought he did a great job even in the Senior Bowl drills and stuff. If you go back and look at that, I think he got a rush on Penning where he got underneath him and kind of drove him back and Penning kind of pissed Penning off, and that's okay. But, Kansas has done a pretty good job. When you watch players from universities like that, and no disrespect to Kansas at all, but what happens is you get these really great players, I think, and they go and they play at these places where the program is not very good, and you could evaluate how hard they play when the game is down or they're out of it and they're out, I remember Ron Leary when he was at Memphis, and you just kept watching him play against Mississippi State and teams like that where they were down by 30 points and they kept playing hard. And I think you could say that about Johnson. He's one of these guys that he just never stops. And so when you talk about those types of players, again, 6 foot, 231 pounds, might not be for everybody, but you put on the tape, he's for a lot of people the way he plays.
Day three, man, sign me up for a kid like that.
There you go.
I'd absolutely love to get him on my football team. All right, let's go over some mocks. We stayed away for some mocks here in the last couple, but I think it's time.
Yeah.
And you sent me one from Sharp Football.
Yeah.
Now, this dude's supposedly the most accurate of the bunch here. All right, you're giving the broadest sign of approval.
Yeah,
this is
interesting because Brendan Donahue is the number one most accurate mock drafter over the past 5 seasons, and this is according to the Huddle Report.
Okay.
That kind of they do a lot of of work and stuff like that. And so, yeah, Brendan Donahue, again, from Sharp Football Analysts, I think they do a really, really good job with those nerdy numbers and stuff like that.
They do a fantastic job.
But I'm always interested to see what he has to say.
All right, so let's go through this, and we'll do a little grade the pick, if you will, all right? Yeah. How do we feel? Would we do the same thing, or do we like what they're doing here? So pick one, Jacksonville. And I do think this is what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah.
Trayvon Walker, edge from Georgia.
I tried to give Jacksonville a call on the way to the station this morning before we taped just to find out. I couldn't get a hold of anybody.
So
there.
Balke, I think, did a presser yesterday or earlier this week, and he's floating out. It's down to four guys.
Okay.
And I think it's Walker, Ike Ekwonu, Aiden Hutchinson, and your guy Charles Cross.
There you go.
I think it's going to be Walker.
Okay.
But I would take Ike Ekwonu.
Yeah, I would too.
I think he's the best player in the draft. I think they need to protect Trevor Lawrence.
Of those four you named, I would take
Ike. I think Ike's the guy, but I think they're going to end up going Trayvon Walker. It does seem
actually
like,
Charles Cross is who I would take.
Yeah, Charles Cross is
Charles
your
Cross
boy.
Would be my guy, yeah.
But I think Trayvon Walker does sound like the momentum's building there. Right, Lions at two. Sharp's peeps have him going Aiden Hutchinson, the edge from Michigan.
Yeah, I think that to me. And again, the questions now being asked among the NFL scouts are, have we seen just the absolute best of Aiden Hutchinson as a player? Is there any more growth? But you said about it, safe, tough, active. It's going to do everything he's, required to do. And, but you can also watch him in some tape, much like Walker, where he's getting blocked. And that's the scary thing when you start to talk about these things.
Well, I think you could also make an argument, was his running mate on the other side of Jabo?
Yeah.
You better player.
Yeah, there's people that
want to. I think Jabo is, man.
Pretty good
in terms of just a pure pass rusher.
Yeah.
Jabo might be the best in the class.
Might be.
And he might have the most upside, but Aiden Hutchinson selling jerseys there.
Yeah.
Michigan guy. And I think Dan Campbell would definitely fall in love with Aiden Hutchinson.
Yep.
Number two, that makes a lot of sense. Texans, they end up taking Ike Ekwonu out of NC State. If he's there at three, I agree with that pick. I think that's a no-brainer for Houston. They need offensive tackle help.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, if you go back and that's the whole thing. When you start to talk about, Laremy Tunsil there at left tackle, but Titus Howard, who was a first-round pick. I mean, I think there were a lot of people that questioned that pick in 2019, but they clearly need some help at that tackle spot.
The Jets, with one of their first top 10 picks at four, take Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, do you still have Kayvon as your number one player?
He is my number one player. So, yeah, absolutely. I like this pick a lot. I feel like, though, that there's a lot of people that don't feel like that he plays hard all the time. And I just think that's really, to me, I just look at the talent. I just think, when he does play, I think there's a lot of other interest there, too. Are people thinking, is this guy a glass eater? I don't think he's a glass eater, but I think what he is he's a guy that's very conscious of image. He's very conscious of his brand. He's very conscious, though, of playing football. When he plays football, he does it pretty well. So, people say the Jets, this might be one of those things. They remember the kid Golston they took from Ohio State several years ago that ended up being a bust. But, I think Thibodeau's got – I think he's got a lot of game. I really do.
Does he not show a little Deion Jordan flashes to you? Do you not see a little Deion Jordan when you watch him?
Oh, sure.
But he makes me a little nervous.
Well,
and it might just be the team, and that happens sometimes.
Sure, it does. And but, to me, if you gave me a choice between him, Hutchinson, and Walker.
You'd go Thibodeau?
I'd go Thibodeau, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I'd go Sauce. I think Sauce would be the best player for me.
Very well.
They're
at
four.
Yep.
Giants at five. This mock has them going Evan Neal.
Yeah, I was doing a bunch of podcasts with Giants folks, Giants.com. They're looking for a right tackle. This could go Gardner, Neal. They got 5 and 7. It just happens that when we get to their seventh pick, it's going to be exactly.
Okay.
They could flip this. I was reading
they love your boy Cross.
Okay.
I think this pick is Charles Cross.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then like I said, they're looking for a true right tackle. And the best right tackle on the board, in my opinion, the guy with the power and stuff like that. Cross is a hell of a player.
Is Evan Neal.
Yeah, but it's probably Evan Neal.
Do you think Evan Neal...
unless they plan on flipping their current...
Andrew Thomas might be better over at right tackle.
That's what they might think.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah.
You think Evan Neal might actually be a better guard than tackle.
There's people in the scouting community think that might be the case.
I kind of think he does look like a better guard than tackle. Panthers then at 6 would take Charles Cross.
There you go.
I love that pick.
Yep.
I know a lot of people are just penciling in quarterback there, and it does make a lot of sense. I think it's just a reach with this quarterback class.
Yeah, sure.
At number 7, the Giants with their second pick, Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
Oh, if they come away with a Cross or a Neal and then get Sauce at 7.
Well, yeah, this is the situation as is. I mean, they collected 2 picks. They got fortunate at the trade that they made last year, netted him the 7th overall pick. And sometimes I say when you're thinking about next year's one, this is when it works out. If they go Gardner, Neal, Gardner, Cross, they really, really help their team with the first 2 picks they made.
Falcons at 8, first receiver off the board, Garrett Wilson, the receiver out of Ohio State. You got Jameson Williams, right,
as
your top receiver. And I love that because I think if he didn't get hurt, and look, that injury might have been the reason Alabama's not your national champion and Georgia is.
Sure. Yeah.
I agree. I think Jameson Williams is the top receiver off the board if he doesn't have that injury.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, now there's people that won't like the fact that he's 179 pounds, but
I don't think that matters in today's NFL. I think that's proven it doesn't matter.
But he's tough, man. You watch Jameson Williams play special teams.
Hell
he's
yeah.
like a gunner on the punt team and stuff like that. It's pretty killer.
But Garrett Wilson,
Wilson's a good pick.
Absolute stud.
Yep.
The Seahawks then take Jermaine Johnson, the second edge from Florida State.
Wow.
This dude, and this would be a Seattle pick.
Yeah.
If Sauce doesn't slide there, I've also seen Stingley go there quite a bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson seems like the prototypical also, Seattle likes the long body. He reminds me of a Carlos Dunlap who they traded for from Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah, I think Jermaine Johnson was a guy that everybody kind of talked about the initial mock drafts. I had a couple of pro scouts very early in the process tell me, listen, you guys got this Jermaine Johnson too high. And that was even at 24. So I wonder if there's still some more rooms that absolutely think that. But he went from a guy that you were probably going to think about at 24 to being in the top 10 in this draft.
But he had an interesting season. You watch him. The debut game against Notre Dame wrecks the Irish.
Yep.
But I think he kind of faded as the season went on, and that might be what people are knocking him a little bit. But there's a lot of potential there with Jermaine Johnson. The Jets then, with their second pick, they've taken Thibodeau in this mock.
Yeah.
They come away with your guy Jameson Williams out of Alabama, who very well could be the best receiver in this class. The speed, he's just smooth with his route running, can take the top off the defense. Zach Wilson would love to have him with the Jets.
Yeah, it's a great pick right there at 10, I believe.
I wonder, do you think Drake London, though, might be a better fit for what the Jets want to do with his ability to go up, get the ball, contested catches, especially in the red zone for a guy like Zach Wilson, might be able to help him a little bit
better. Yeah, I think when you're talking about, you need very high catch radius guy. And, not to say that Williams has not got a good catch radius, but London has rare catch radius, I think, the way if you look. He played with quarterbacks that weren't very good and always made them look a lot better than they were.
Catches everything.
Yeah.
Commanders at 11, Washington. Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame, I don't think is getting enough love and respect as we get closer to this draft and all the chatter.
People talking about the speed there.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Clean as hell.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton, I love this dude.
Sure.
He's a baller. Now, if he goes to Washington as a diehard Cowboys fan, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I can't stand you, Kyle, but I wish you the best of luck. But that'd be a home run pick for the Commanders there.
Yeah,
Ron Rivera would be in love.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton is a big-time tackler, too. And you could always help your defense with those kinds of guys.
The Vikings, Derek Stingley Jr., the corner out of LSU at 12.
This is a perfect fit because also they have an LSU guy. Patrick Peterson already there, and everybody will tell you at LSU that he needs a big brother to put his arm around him.
And Harrison Smith, who's a leader as well.
Exactly. I think Minnesota getting Derek Stingley would be a huge get for them.
All right, here we go. What do you think of this fit? Jordan Davis, who we were just talking about out of Georgia, going to the Texans at 13.
Yeah, depending on, what your situation is, with that defensive tackle, that's going to be big. I mean, that's one of those things that, with the scheme and all that, we'll see what the Texans, are going to do. How they're going to play their guys. It makes a lot of sense. So when you start talking about, Lovie Smith is a it's interesting because Lovie Smith being a disciple from like that Rod Marinelli kind of a, you know, group and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, it's, you know, Malik Collins is really a Roy Lopez. Mm. That's kind of who you're talking about as, you know, Kinsley Keke as guys. Those are the, yeah. Those are the defensive tackles you're kind of talking about with this team. So that might make a little sense.
George Karloftis to the Ravens at 14. Oh man.
Yeah.
I would love that for George. He would, I mean, if you go to the Ravens, they draft home runs, it seems like, every single year.
They do a great job. If you look at the last 10 years of the draft, they've been one of the best drafting teams in the league when it comes to, you know, the metrics and things like that, what they talk about players with career averages and things. We were doing a study about that, you know, talking. I think the Ravens were in the top three, actually, for that. But, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, with they've got guys that can rush, though. I mean, you know.
They do.
You know. Back in the, like, you know, with we'll see with, you know, with Derek Wolfe and what he could really, really do. And we've also talking about Owe, you know, from Penn State, who was in the draft.
Fantastic last year.
It played really, really well. So just adding another guy like that, I think, would be huge.
And McDuffie, Trent McDuffie, we've talked about, you know, yeah. Shorter corner, shorter arms from Washington going to the Eagles. They desperately need corner help there at 15. The Saints then at 16, we wondered why, you know, they made that move up. A lot of chatter. Maybe it was for.
I think they might still go. I think that
they might move up again.
Yeah, I think the Saints might keep an eye on them moving up again.
And what's interesting, no quarterback's gone in this mock yet. They have Saints taking 16 Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa.
Yeah. See, that's where I kind of look at too. You know, what's going to happen there? You mentioned they brought back, you know, with Jameson Winston. They brought him back. You know, Andy Dalton is now in the mix. Ian Book was a guy they used a little bit last year. So, you know, Taysom Hill's now moving to tight end. You know, the offensive tackle makes a lot of sense there because, you know, you have Ramchek playing the right side, but then you look on the other side, you know, James Hurst, you know, that's why they're going to go get Penning.
Penning's an interesting guy. I mean, yeah. I heard some chatter at the combine about him because he's mean. He's got a mean streak about him.
Sure.
And I think teams like that, though.
They do.
Cowboys
like the
specifically
they
are eyeing that. Zion Johnson, what a rise to the Chargers at 17. Now, last year, they go Rashawn Slater. This would be a nice add to their offensive line with Zion Johnson to go ahead and protect their investment, of course, in Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Nice pick. Devin Lloyd to the Eagles. You got to like that tandem there. Oh, man, with Trent McDuffie and Devin Lloyd at 18. Yep. Chris Olave. Going to the Saints, would love that pick for the Saints there at 19. And the first quarterback off the board, Malik Willis, to the Steelers at 20. And if there's a quarterback to take, in my opinion, this is the one guy that should be drafted in the first round.
Steelers have a history a little bit of, you know, if you go back to the slash days, the Cordell Stewarts and people like that. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was in there for a long time. Not the most mobile of quarterbacks, mobile enough, but, you know, had a great run there with the Steelers. But, yeah, Willis is driving up a lot of boards here, him or Pickett. The Steelers did a lot of work on these quarterbacks this spring.
Daxton Hill, a guy we haven't talked a lot about, speed, safety from Michigan, real true free safety, can also kick inside,
play
some nickel for
absolutely
you as well.
Kid, yeah.
For the Patriots, and that makes sense for New England.
Makes a lot of sense.
For Bill Belichick there at 21. How about this? Treylon Burks to the Packers at 22. You're plugged in there with Green Bay. You think they actually take a receiver finally in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's not in their DNA to do it, but you talk to the people there. They think that they might use their 2 second-round picks on wide receivers. So
George Pickens is the name
exactly.
I think they're linked to a lot.
Exactly. So, yeah, that if they don't hit one at this spot or at 28, I believe then they're going to go with look forward to come back around in the second round.
Burks would be an instant superstar with Aaron Rodgers though at 22. The Cardinals then would take Drake London, which would be a perfect fit for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
There at 23 out of USC, and then I would be so happy. I think you would be so happy. The Cowboys come away with Kenyon Green, the guard out of Texas A&M at 24. Instant plug and play. I think the Cowboys would have their left guard situation figured out, and they'd be very pleased.
Yeah, under this circumstances with Zion Johnson being gone already much earlier, but, you know, there's a lot of people that do like Zion Johnson. You know, they like the fact, again, Jim Nagy, we brought and we talked to him. They used him as a center at the Senior Bowl. It seemed like that was fine. He's a super, super smart guy. He's super athletic. People will tell you they like Green a little bit better because of his toughness, how mean, nasty finisher kind of a guy. So, yeah, when you talk about plug and play, Green makes a lot of sense.
Hey, for me, that's what I'm all about. Also, the power. That's what stands out to me about Kenyon Green. Kyler Gordon, the running mate of McDuffie at Washington, goes to the Bills at 25. They could use some secondary help. Second quarterback off the board, Kenny Pickett to the Titans. That's interesting there at 26. Tyler Smith, the offensive lineman from Tulsa, goes to the Bucks at 27.
Ooh.
I'm not a Tyler Smith guy.
I'm not either.
But, Bucks go with him. Devontae Wyatt goes to the Packers with their second first-round pick there at 28 out of Georgia. That would be a heck of a pick there for Green Bay. The Chiefs then take Jahan Dotson, wide receiver from Penn State. Be an Andy Reid special, reminiscent of DeSean Jackson a little bit for me.
Watch the Chiefs maybe being aggressive here. I'm hearing whispers that they're going to come up from the bottom of the board to try and get one of these wide receivers. They could jump ahead of maybe some of these teams in the early 20s that might be looking at wide receiver.
Chiefs then would follow up with Boye Mafe, the edge out of Minnesota. Yeah, underrated. Underrated player.
Very underrated.
Bengals then land Tyler Linderbaum. Can't believe he's going to slide this far, but that's what happens
that's
when you're
my tenth,
center.
That's my 10th best player on my stack.
Disrespected here.
Well, I think, you know, again, he's not for everybody, but the traits are clearly, if I'm going to be wrong about a guy, an undersized guy, I would rather be wrong about one that has production on tape.
You know what? That would be the best pick in the first round.
It's one that would be the head scratcher because there's a lot of people that really like him and there's a lot of people that absolutely hate the guy. And I mean hate in a way of
but for the Bengals and you look at what they've done with the offensive line.
Absolutely,
I mean Joe Burrow's gotta be thinking, Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Absolutely.
And then at 32, the Lions circle back, take Desmond Ridder, the quarterback out of Cincy. A lot of buzz
a lot
about
of buzz.
Desmond Ridder right
now. Yeah, you could watch Alec Pierce, the wide receiver from Cincinnati. I mean, he makes a ton of catches. They got a couple of players there that do really, really well. But yeah, Ritter's a guy that a lot of people are starting to kind of warm up to more so than Howell and some of the others that we've seen.
There it is. There is a mock draft. We'll see how accurate that one ends
up being. Yeah, it might be. We'll see.
Just days before the first round.
I didn't hate it either,
especially the Cowboys pick. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad situation there. All right, there's another edition of Trust the Tape in the books. Again, thank you so much to Boomer Jacks. Make sure you go out there, check out Boomer Jacks, tremendous drink specials, delicious burgers. Can't say enough about that menu. Go on out and visit your local Boomer Jacks. For Brian Broaddus, I'm Zach Wolchuk. Until our next edition of Trust the Tape, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.